But I've been looking forward to this all week long. We decided to take on some homework as a show. So Mike, yeah. Norm, and Donovan decided to watch Wings.
We had this idea a few weeks ago, and the best picture was announced, whatever. We're like, what was the first ever best picture?
And it was Wings. It won the award in 1929, the first ever Oscar for best picture. It's a 1927 film, and we watched it, and we are going to review it right now. It's a silent movie, the only silent movie.
The first one I've ever watched.
To ever win an Oscar for Best Picture. It didn't have any acting nominations within the film, but it did win Best Picture. So my first question was, when I got it off Amazon Prime, had to rent it off Amazon Prime, and the first like minute and a half of it or 2 minutes, you can hear music, but the screen is black. And I thought something was wrong.
I was flipping
the iPad a couple of times, and I hit the screen to see the, you know, how the X Smart comes up and everything else will come up. I was like, did it not finish downloading or something? What's going on? And then the picture finally shows up, and it's about 3 minutes worth of letting you know that it's a Paramount Pictures film.
Yeah.
They wanted you to know that the whole entire time.
And oh, boy, do they.
Yes, they do.
Oh, boy, do they. They had,
what, 10 different versions of the Paramount Mountain?
Exactly right. And the mountain changed the circle of stars, but it was like you thought, wait a minute, is there something wrong here?
Because I did.
Because you keep seeing a different Paramount Pictures.
And then I'm wondering, how did they ever figure that a movie without sound words could actually work?
You know, they've been working for years at that
time. I don't understand the longest how. Time.
But they didn't like have microphones or lavalier mics or the ability to boom mics. Like,
they couldn't synchronize sound with film back then.
Donnie couldn't understand. I'm like, I guess I don't understand it either, but it's just like saying, why would you ride a horse in the 1800s? Why don't you just have a car?
Well, okay, it's so like, cars
well, we
weren't invented.
Don't have that
so,
yet.
So there were no microphones back then?
Well, they didn't know how to put sound on film, did they, Mike?
I think that's basically it.
Oh, just my gosh.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of about the first 5 minutes, because you would see lips moving, but the words wouldn't show up on the screen.
Donnie texts me. He's like, man, I think something's wrong. I'm like, no, it's...
So how the hell am I supposed to know what they're saying if they don't show me the words that they're saying?
Well, the thing that throws you off is that lips will move and up will come the lines they've said. Or... are about to say. Okay. And then you go back to the screen and lips will move and no words will come up.
Nothing.
Nothing. You're supposed to interpret what, well, here's what she's probably saying to him and here's what he's probably whispering to her.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking about this, trying to assume what they're saying. And that threw me for a loop for about the first 15 minutes because I thought every time they said something, the words would show up.
Sounds like a lot of work to try and watch this movie.
It's a little discouraging when you see the counter in the left-hand side of the screen, and when it first comes on, it says 2:23, and you go, oh, whoa, this is a long one.
Oh, dear.
A long one.
Can I just bounce a couple of facts of this movie before we get into discussion that are, I think, really fascinating? This was shot in 1926 and 1927. The budget reached $2 million. Can you imagine the size of a budget that big then?
1927?
It took, most movies back then, took about a month to shoot. This one took 9 months to shoot, and William Wellman, who directed it, had these gigantic battle scenes. They used an estimated 300 pilots during this to shoot various scenes, and there were over 3,500 people in the scenes of infantrymen. This was...
It was all shot down in San Antonio, too, at Kelly Field.
Kelly Air Force Base, right. Or Kelly, hey, now Kelly Field. You're right, Mike.
Hey, Kelly. So, saying all that, and Julie's listening in, it feels like we hated this movie, right?
Yep.
From the very beginning of this review. And I'm going to tell you that is not the case.
Oh, good.
Clara Bow? All right. I can see why she was the it girl back in the 20s.
Yeah, the term it girl came from Clara Bow.
Really?
Yep. She came to personify the roaring 20s and is described as a leading sex symbol of the silent film era. And Betty Boop, modeled after Clara Bow.
Okay, I can see that now that you just said it. Yes. She is good looking. And you can tell she was the it girl in the 20s. Just her facial expressions. And just kind of skipping around a little bit, when one of the towns is attacked by the Germans because this is a World War One film, she survives by just jumping under the car.
Yeah.
Everyone else is being just blown to smithereens. And she's under a vehicle and she makes it, and then she gets out and cheers the
plane. Yeah, dusts off and then cheers on the flyboys. Let's just hit the
great plot.
And okay. This is going to have spoilers in it, everyone.
Yes.
So don't be mad at us.
Don't get angry. If you're going to watch Wings from 1927, we're going to give you spoilers.
By the way, there's a trivia question you guys will now have the answer to. What is the first widely released film in America that had about 1 second of nudity in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some buns in there.
Dudes' buns.
Yeah.
As they're enlisting for the services.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was the first nudity, basically, and I think it had the first...
Guy-on-guy kiss.
Man kiss. Which one really? Do they mean? Do they mean the one at the end when they...
I think
when
so.
When the dude was dying? Or do they mean when the French... Commander was awarding them things, and then he kissed them all?
That was uncomfortable.
I think it had to be the ending. To where they...
And that was side mouth, about 10% mouth.
And
as we discussed yesterday.
The tease yesterday was the very uncomfortable mother-son passionate kiss. That was uncomfortable.
Early in the film, a son is going to war. And as he's doing these heartfelt goodbyes, though you can't hear the words,
there was
a lot of lingering on that mother-son kiss.
And it was the seductive parting of that made it more uncomfortable. Usually, if you're kissing a relative, it's quick to the point, get out. They lingered.
Is this why we were talking about
parent
kisses?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we talked about it yesterday.
By the way,
that was the tease.
Mike, back to your Clara Bow for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Your
Gary
Clara
Cooper,
yeah,
who made his debut here.
For about 1 minute before
for
he
about
got
1 minute.
Blowed up.
By the way... By the buzz about this film, this is where he and Clara Bow began what is termed a tumultuous affair.
Okay.
During this, by the way, she also had announced her engagement just before the start of filming of this to another guy, and there's also suggestions that she had. More than a few flirtations with some of the young airmen at Kelly Field.
Here, listen, I got one note on that front. As they were down, for 6 months or whatever, and movies aren't supposed to take that long to shoot, here's one paragraph that I liked. The cast and crew had a lot of time on their hands between shooting sequences, and according to director Wellman, San Antonio became the Armageddon of a magnificent sexual Donnybrook.
Wow.
How awesome is that?
He recalled that
they stayed at the St. Anthony Hotel for 9 months, and by the time they left, the elevator girls were all pregnant.
Wow. Man.
So they were just... Magnificent sexual Donnybrook.
Yeah, the Armageddon.
Okay, so Jack and...
There's a lot going on there.
Jack and David are the two main characters.
Yes.
And there are these two guys that are vying for the affections of not Clara Bow, but this other one who Clara Bow looks 1,000 times better than, Sylvia. So Jack... really likes Sylvia, but she really likes David.
Yeah.
So that's the rivalry that they've had from the beginning. That's how they knew each other. They had this rivalry, but they both enlist in the service. They're both stationed together. They're both pilots. And their rivalry at the very beginning when they're in basic training and they're kicking each other's asses turns into a really good friendship. Friendship because they're boys. And they're fighting together and they're flying together. And they have this all set thing. Okay. And they have this thing that they say before they take off and all these great things. And now Clara Bow loves Jack.
Yeah.
But he has no idea. He's so dumb to the fact that Clara Bow wants to, you know.
I thought you said she loved him. So it's not all about.
No, she wanted
it's love, Donnie.
She wanted a lot of that. And but he wanted Sylvia.
Off air, she was apparently getting that. Yeah. Anyway.
Right.
Everybody was. Donnybrook.
And it's so.
Yes.
It's my first silent and probably my only silent movie experience that I'm going to ever have.
Yeah.
I don't see myself watching another movie that doesn't have words.
I didn't hate it, but it was long. And you said linger. Every shot lingered about 20 seconds too long. Like there was an hour to chop out of this thing.
They had a fight scene that lasted way too long. They had a scene, Julie, where they're on leave in Paris and they're all having a good time because they've been fighting. And now they get to let their hair down a little bit. And Jack and everyone around gets drunk. And the only thing Jack sees is bubbles because he's drinking champagne. And he looks at something and he'll see the bubbles come off of it. And he gets happy because he sees bubbles and he shakes it so he can see more bubbles.
That includes women, by the way.
Yes. So he'll look at a woman in her eye and a bubble will come out. And he laughs and he tries to shake her to see more bubbles. And he made his choice of women to see who had more bubbles. And him playing drunk for about 15 minutes
at least was with these damn bubbles.
Oh, man, it was so bad.
It was so lame.
So bad.
And at the end, he had a giant bubble around his own head.
Right.
And he was all happy finally. It just wouldn't stop with the bubbles.
So that's like essentially what's happening to us maybe when we're drinking and the bubbles are like your beer goggles.
Yeah, maybe.
Or other bubbles.
But to see it on film was pretty dang. It was bad.
There was one line that'll stay with me, though.
That you
Gary
read?
Cooper's very brief appearance as Airman White. He leaves and goes out and actually gets killed like a moment later in the film. Okay,
it was really funny.
And I'll be right back.
You can see it coming a mile away that was going
to
happen.
He says to Jack and David as he leaves the tent, this is a quote, luck or no luck, when your time comes, you're going to get it.
And he got it.
He got it.
A minute later, he got it. That was good. I enjoyed it. For a one-off homework assignment, I give it 2 thumbs up.
Really?
It's long.
Like, the reason it won Best Picture was, first off, they had cameras in planes, which I imagine at the time no one had even seen an angle of planes from a plane.
Well, the director was a World War One pilot. Wellman was a World War One pilot.
Yeah.
And that's why it won, sure.
It was probably like Top Gun back in the day.
It was innovative for 1927.
And they're dogfighting, and like one of them gets shot down, and clearly he's just making the plane spiral sort of downward. But it was that was all kind
of
cool.
With the same fireball at the back of the plane. Yeah. Hey, Julie, one of my favorite parts, every time someone gets shot in this movie, because it's a war movie, they all die the same. This is how it happens. They get shot. And then they stand straight up, and they twirl around.
Yeah.
And then they collapse.
Every death was terrible.
One of them.
By the way,
no matter where they're shot.
Yeah.
Could you lip read some of the things the pilots were saying? Because I lip read an SOB.
I thought I saw an SOB.
I saw that also, right.
And I lip-read an illegitimate child reference.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There was one to where you saw the guy have the blood pack that he kind of squished on his head to make himself bleed after he was shot.
It was like Dusty Rhodes technique.
It was very
like
wrestling.
See him put the blood pill.
That goes down.
Dusty Rhodes is a blade, sir.
Okay.
And then even with the plane crashing into the house, the final kill... If we're going to spoil Wings for you, Julie.
Fine.
That Jack wound up killing David, his friend, because David was shot down.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived. He stole a German plane to try to get back to across enemy lines so he can be safe. Jack saw the German plane,
right.
Shot it down,
and he's waving.
But it was David, and he's like in the plane, like it's
"Can't you tell
me?
It's me?
No, that's terrible.
Jack, it's me. It's your friend."
He shoots. I would have been really sad watching that.
Yeah, it was a decent little twist. I was like, "Oh no, don't shoot him down."
He shoots it down.
It's your boy.
It goes into a house. Jack just lands the plane in the front yard like it's nothing, gets out to get a souvenir for his kill, and then winds up seeing that it's David, whom they took out of the plane and just put in the house. Huh. He just crashed a plane in the house. You're not coming inside. That was a really good
this
twist.
And then Jack, wild.
Jack has to take David's medal and his little pet
the
good luck bear.
The tiniest teddy bear ever seen.
The worst bear.
It was a gummy bear. That's how tiny it was, Norm. A gummy bear in his pocket.
And the dog they had in the couple of scenes.
Okay, he was
poor
cute.
Poor David's dog. He came out and he sat there and he seemed to understand exactly what's going on.
He had the sad look on his face also. So you killed David?
And then Dad in the wheelchair. I never knew what Dad in the wheelchair's deal was. If he was happy or mad.
He's always angry. He's in a wheelchair, man.
Man, it was a little journey to watch a movie that old and like check it out. A movie that's, 20 years before Norm was born.
I'm saying I liked it. I'm not going to watch a solid movie ever again, but for that, and it was long, and you could chop off 45 minutes of this movie and still have it good, I am so glad we did this.
Yeah,
what's
I am
next?
Too.
Let's go to 1930.
Ooh, getting a little crazy.
Let's go to the 1930 Best Picture film and just review that. I'm hype.
I'll do that one.
We can do this.
All right, we can do this.
Let's see what it was real quick. The Racket.
Norm?
Oh, no, actually, The Racket finished second to Wings, excuse me.
We don't have time for second.
No, we have.
No, we're not watching them.
Oh, God, please, let's not do this. Can we skip to the middle?
No, what is it?
The Broadway Melody.
No, we're not.
Okay.
Come on. It's a classic.
Norm can overrule.
And then it's all Quiet on the Western Front. That sounds good.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen that?
I have seen it. It's very worth it. All Quiet on the Western Front is next.
But we have to go in order. So what is it?
The Broadway Melody.
Melody of 1929.
Boom! The Broadway Melody it is.
No,
all right.
No more. No. Even Norm is like, no, please no.
All right, we'll talk NFL next.